Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another fun and fur-filled hour of Fervently Speaking, hosted by pet lifestyle and industry expert, top dog Eileen Proctor. Nationally renowned as America's Canine Connections Coach, the top dog has a knack of sniffing out and sharing information about products, services, activities, and news that improve the quality of life for pets and the people who love them, all in an inimitably entertaining style. Whether it's dogs, cats, critters, you name it, the top dog has really got her paws on the pulse of America's pet-loving society. It's time to sit, stay, and pick up your ears for Fervently Speaking and your host, top dog, Eileen Proctor.
And welcome to another fun and fur-filled episode of Fervently Speaking, where if it's about fur, we're all over it. And I guess the people listening, if we take a look at our clothes, it's probably all over us. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, and we are here every second and fourth Wednesday on the Boomer and Babe station on Blog Talk Radio. So we have got a wonderful show here today. We've actually imported our guest from Canada. We're going to hear more about Charmaine Hamm in just a second. She is an award-winning, best-selling author, and she has written a book. And the reason that she is on the show is because we have such fabulous response to our ongoing feature, Boomers Whose Lives Have Gone to the Dogs, or any other fur friend for that matter, about inspiration for you. You know, life's not over just because we hit the 40s, 50s, or 60s. There's always something to do. And oftentimes, we finally get a chance to do what we want to do, and oftentimes that involves doing something that revolves around our love of animals. So today we are very privileged to have on a wonderful woman. Her name is Charmaine Hammond, and as I said, she's an award-winning, best-selling author. She's written a book called On Toby's Terms, which I have read. I've actually got the book, and it is autographed, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book, very endearing story. She's also written a series of books called Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends that we'll hear more about. And she also has been published in Chicken Soup for the Soul, What I Learned from the Dog. That was all the way back in 2009, called simply A Beautiful Book About Life, Love, and Purpose by Jack Canfield, the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. On Toby's Terms is also currently in development to become a major motion picture. Woo-hoo-hoo! So Charmaine has been featured on CBC, CTV, Global TV, Alberta Primetime News, many major newspapers, including Metro News, National Canada, U.S. and New York, and in various magazines. She's normally from Canada. Right now she happens to be in California. Wherever you are, we're glad you're with us today on Fervently Speaking. Charmaine Hammond, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Oh, I am so thrilled you're here because we've had in the past other people who have, their lives have gone to the dogs, and absolutely, there was one woman, her name was Jamie Wagner. She wrote a book about her dog, Tucker, which was a corgi, and that was called Tucker Tales, and that's a whole series of books as well. So I love when people can put their emotions into the written word, and that's what you've done for Toby, correct?
You bet, you bet. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, before we talk about your book and your love affair with your dog and how it helped you change your career to go to the dogs, tell us about what your life was like before this. What did you have as a career?
Well, my first career was actually in corrections. So I was a jail guard for about 15 years in adult and young offender facilities. And then I was a mediator for about 10 years mediating conflicts and followed my passion of what I really love to do, which is professional speaking. And that's what I do now.
Uh-huh. What are the topics that you speak on, Charmaine?
Well, a lot of the speaking I do is related to conflict resolution and helping people be resilient and what I call bouncing forward, helping people move through challenging times in life and coming out well on the other side.
Oh, that's great. Oh, and I do understand that you have a book on that topic as well called Bounce Forward. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I wrote that about a year ago, and it was really to talk about communication, courageous dialogue, and conflict resolution, and living an inspired, resilient life.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'll have to get myself a copy of that. Is that available, like, on Amazon? How would I get a hold of that book?
Yeah, that book is available through our website, hammondgroup.biz, and will be in bookstores coming 2012.
All right. Well, I'll keep my eyes open for it if I don't get to it online first. But, you know, you talk about resiliency and bouncing back, and I don't see any way on my darkest days, you know, my dog days, if you call them, anything that helps me bounce back more than getting a hug or giving a hug to my furry friends that share my life. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, I totally agree. One of the best remedies for me on a stressful day is being with animals. And Toby, our dog, you know, just an incredible healer. He was a pet therapy dog and became therapy for me too.
Yeah, that is the best part about it. Now, tell us a little bit about Toby to start. What kind of a dog was he, and how did he enter your life?
Toby's a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. We got him from a rescue organization as an adult dog. He was 5 years old. And for those people that don't know about Chesapeake, they're probably about the size of a lab, 80 pounds. And actually, a lot of people confuse Toby with a chocolate lab. He was a little bit more auburn color and had the biggest pink, floppiest tongue I have ever seen in my life. This dog, we have no pictures of this dog with his mouth closed. Always smiling. So
no, that's what
really
people say about me too. They never see any pictures of me with my mouth closed, and my tongue is usually flapping also. But so Toby and I have a lot in common.
There you go. Great personality, and you know, he little stubborn. We didn't really know that about the breed until we brought Toby home. But he was a rescue dog. We got him from a local rescue, and his first family.
When you say local, is that Canada, by the way?
Yeah, we got him in a really small rescue organization in our community in Canada. And his first family, from what we know, loved him dearly. It was a couple of senior citizens. They loved him dearly, but he was about 40 pounds overweight when he went into care.
Wow. Well, what was it about Toby that stole your heart that made you say, you're coming home with me?
It was an internet love affair. My husband was researching dogs on the internet, and he called me into the room and said, "Char, come and look at this picture." And I walk in. The computer screen has this massive head of a dog, big brown and golden eyes, the pink floppy tongue, and I just said, "I'm in love." So I actually met Toby on the internet.
Wow. So internet dating. That's awesome. I'm glad that Chris was understanding. Actually, he hooked you up, so it was kind of a menage a trois, huh?
Yeah, he did hook us up. And
it was a lot of fun
meeting Toby.
That was great. So, by the way, you know how I feel adoption is the best option. In fact, in my opinion, 9 times out of 10, it's the only option. So I want to applaud you for adopting, because the more that we can let people know that adopted dogs can bring so much to our lives and give them a new leash on life, I think the better we are for it as well. Because who out there has not at some time or another felt thrown aside or just kind of needed to change something about their life? And it's the circumstances that we are presented with and offered to us that allow us to do that. So kudos to you for adopting Toby, especially an adult dog, because a lot of people also shy away from that.
Yes, I hear that. A lot of people want puppies. And, you know, we actually wanted to avoid the whole puppy scenario. To be really honest, we didn't want to go through the chewing and all the destruction. And guess what happened? We adopted a dog with issues that did all that anyhow.
Yeah, really. And by the way, he overlooked your issues too, yours and Chris's. So tell us about, I mean, the book is amazing. Seriously, I've read the book, and it makes you cry. It's really awesome. You know, heartwarming doesn't even begin to say what this book is about. It was a really phenomenal journey. But Toby really went from incorrigible to incredible in this book. How much of that was true? And tell us about the start of the journey and your experiences moving forward to get those great results.
Yeah. So, you know, Toby's journey was pretty interesting. We brought him home. He was perfect for 6 months. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better dog. And then Chris comes home one day. Chris is my husband. And seriously, he cannot get in the house. There's something jamming the door. He has to come in through the dog door into the kitchen. And the whole house was literally destroyed. Furniture tipped upside down, water taps running, broken toilets. In fact, it was so bad, Eileen, that he called the neighbor to come over because he thought a crime had occurred in the house. That's how bad the destruction was.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And so that was the first sign that this dog had issues. And then for a long time after, every other day, Toby was emptying the closet and knocking things over. So, you know, he had all these challenges, and everything that we write about in the book is 100% true, and we even left out some of the other parts that he did. But we got help for him and got a behaviorist in, and that was really when everything started to change for us and for Toby in a positive way.
And you know, for those of you who have not had the opportunity to read the book, again, we're talking about On Toby's Terms, and Charmaine Hammond, the author, is with us. I mean, I read about things like that he would turn on the water taps, he'd pull things off of bookshelves, he sat in sinks, and he would rampage through the house, and he would lock himself in the bathroom and push up the toilet tank and let it smash to pieces. I mean, what did the behaviorist have to say about this?
Well, she was pretty perplexed when she came in. What was really interesting, though, is Maggie was her name. She comes in the house and just observes Chris and I with Toby and his surroundings. And she first made an observation on how he ate his food, which I thought was pretty interesting. She commented on the fact that he would eat one piece of kibble, wander around the house, check on Chris, check on me, check on every single toy that he owned, come back, grab a piece of food, and do the whole thing over again. And we just kind of thought, you know, boy, Toby is odd when he eats his food. And she suspected that he had a strong need to take care of things, his surroundings and the people in his life.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, did you know anything when you adopted him? Did the family that gave him up indicate that there was any quirkiness that Toby might have had?
Well, this is the embarrassing part. Yes, they did. And so in a letter that they sent with Toby, which was a beautiful letter, you could just feel their love for him, and they had to surrender him when Toby's dad, I guess, passed away, and the mother, the wife, couldn't manage Toby on her own. So she did allude to the fact that he had occasionally trapped himself in bathrooms and was terrified of loud noises and didn't like to be left alone. I discovered about myself that when you fall in love with an animal, we often forget all those warning signs. He was also, I didn't mention, he was also on 3 medications when he went into foster care. He was on human Prozac, which I didn't even know, you know, was a prescription drug for dogs, but human Prozac, antidepressant for canines, and an anti-anxiety medication for canines.
Wow. But love was blind, and you brought him in anyway, and for 6 months he hid it, like we often do with our new affairs that we have with people.
Yeah.
And then it all just started to surface. So the behaviorist, it sounds to me like he had compulsive disorder or something, like somebody who washes their hands constantly. What did she diagnose it as?
Well, she determined that he had a really severe separation anxiety, and she turned it around into a way that she could help him, and she discovered that Toby really needed a job, that he needed a purpose. And when she said that, it was sort of like the world opened up, because I thought, this is incredible. As a human, here I am on my own journey of finding my purpose, and my dog needs one too. So that's where life really began to open up for this dog.
And for you, because it totally changed the course of your life. That's when your life went to the dogs in terms of your career. So what prompted you to write a book about all this that was going on? Was it therapy for you? Was it to help other people? Or was it just to, let everybody know that Toby's an awesome dog? What was your motivation?
I think the motivation was all 3 that you just mentioned. And when we got Toby a job at a hospital, he became a pet assisted therapy dog. when I would watch our weekly visits to the hospital and how Toby just stepped into his purpose and intuitively knew how to care for these people, I thought, this is amazing. I've got to share this. And so I wrote a story for Chicken Soup for the Soul that got accepted. And that was where it all began.
Wow. So for those of the people out there that are saying, wow, I'd love to write a story for an upcoming book, how did you find out about the opportunity to write that chapter?
I was on a mailing list. I love Chicken Soup for the Souls. I have many of those books myself and enjoy the short reads. And I somehow got on a mailing list for Chicken Soup for the Soul, and there was a call out for stories. They do this all the time, and people can go on Chicken Soup for the Soul website and see all the story listings that they're looking for. And they had a book coming up called Chicken Soup for the Soul, What I Learned from the Dog. And I thought, I'm going to write about Toby's volunteer work. And I submitted it, very easy process, and it was accepted.
Wow, that's a great start. So that was kind of like the trailer to On Toby's Terms. You talk about getting Toby a job, and he became a pet therapy dog. How did you actually discover what I guess you would call the inner Toby and his like amazing, almost psychic ability to touch everyone he meets and help through pet-assisted therapy?
Well, at first, the behaviorist kind of helped me understand. She said, watch Toby. Watch how he is with people. Watch how focused he is. And so I would start to watch Toby with people in our life, our neighbors, our friends. And I was amazed at how when I looked at him and really paid attention, I could see him trying to communicate with people. He was so observant to what people were feeling. You know, a common example with Toby would be that if someone sniffled, if they had a cold or they were crying, it didn't matter. As soon as he heard that sniffle, he'd go over to them with a stuffed animal or a soggy tennis ball was usually what it was, and give it to them as if he was trying to make them feel better. And in the hospital, it was amazing. This was not something we trained him to do. He just intuitively knew that somebody was in need, and he could help them. And I hadn't noticed that about Toby until the trainer helped me see it. And then once I was aware of it, it was incredible.
Yeah. So how long did it take from the time you started exhibiting these symptoms after you had him for 6 months to the time he was diagnosed and you were able to actually harness his gifts rather than saying, dang, I think I want to bring this guy back to the Humane Society, which I'm not saying you did, but a lot of people do. How long did that take?
We did have that thought. To be really honest with you, we did wonder if we could keep Toby when all of these behaviors, every day it was something new. But it was probably about, after 6 months, we called Maggie. We struggled through, and about 7 months, I guess, and we called Maggie. And then it was another couple months that we researched pet therapy programs. We applied to one at first. He did the test, aced them all, and they failed him because of his bark.
Oh.
I know.
I was
devastated.
His bark too loud, too often? What was the problem with his bark? Too high pitched?
Too loud, too often, and too big. And it was tragic because he passed every other part of the test. And we took him to another organization, CHEMO, Pet Assisted Therapy Program, and they did the exact same test with him. And I talked about the bark, and she said, Charmaine, we're just going to find Toby a placement where the bark comes across as a helpful tool instead of a problem. And so where they placed him at the mental health facility that he volunteered at was the perfect placement because his bark became kind of an announcement, you know, two loud barks as he walked through the door as if he's saying, I'm here, I've arrived.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I had a pet assisted therapy dog named Ariel, Golden Retriever, and we struggled with finding the proper location for her because I did not like hospitals. I get upset in hospital environments, and of course, if we get upset, we transfer that energy to our dogs. So it's important that when you're a pet assisted therapy team that you find something that is suitable for both the two-leggeds and the four-leggeds. And Ariel also liked to bark, and we were ultimately placed in a school for deaf children where the bark did not make one iota of difference. And
it was
awesome because she wasn't failed, but we knew that the barking could be a problem. So I wanted to always be upfront about this situation with any of the facilities. And ultimately we did go to a school for deaf children, and it was actually very good for Ariel and me because they wanted the children to learn how to speak, not just do sign language. And so we practiced Ariel's training at the same time that she was on her therapy visits, because the kids would tell her to sit, and it was only one word. And that was like huge for them to say one word, like sit, stay, down. So there is a place for every dog and every team, and I'm glad that Toby and you found Toby's place of mastery, if you will.
Yes, yeah. I what a great story that you just shared. I love that, around finding the perfect place where the dog's skills can really shine through, and in that case, the children benefited as well.
Yep, absolutely. So I know that you mentioned that you learned a lot of important lessons from Toby, and I'm not sure, were there more that you wanted to share with us?
There was a couple. One of the most profound lessons that I discovered from Toby is that I was a perfectionist, and I say was because I'm now in recovery, but I learned that I was a perfectionist, and it was really holding me back from a lot of things in life. And you can't be a perfectionist and live with a dog like Toby. It just you just can't. And so he really helped me move out of being a perfectionist, and that was so useful. But he also taught us a lot about persistence and perseverance. You know, we didn't give up on Toby. We just kept sticking with the training and sticking with working with him as a team, and it really enriched our life.
Yeah, and I'm wondering whether or not, I know that you have On Toby's Terms as the first true book, but is anything that he taught you included in your new book, Bounce Forward, or am I just projecting?
No, he did actually. He is Toby was such a powerful teacher for us around resilience. There's a couple of parts of On Toby's Terms that I talk about. He had an injury at a dog park where he sort of impaled himself with a stick. It was just horrible and quite serious medically. It was just, so terrifying. And, you know, very serious medically. And this dog went through the treatments and just missed needing to get surgery done. But I watched how he overcame his fear again and how he just stepped back into life and it just bounced forward. He constantly was an example for us around bouncing forward after life's challenges, because we get those as people too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just wondering, after you rescued Toby, so now, you know, it was just Chris and you, and now you've got Toby, I'm imagining that he had some kind of an impact on your relationship with your husband, yes?
Yes. Interesting impact on the relationship with Chris and I, because Chris was often the first person to get home. He would get home before me after a day of work, and so he was the one to discover Toby's latest destruction, whether it was the broken toilet tank, the rearranged closets. So it was incredibly frustrating for Chris, always having to find this. And I sometimes stuck up for the dog, which I learned is not a great thing to do in a marriage. And so...
Ladies out there, are you listening?
So Toby and his challenges sometimes became a source of conflict and disagreement for Chris and I. And we also saw that when we were not on the same page together, Chris and I, it affected Toby. So once Chris and I got on the same page and we both committed to, we are not sending this dog back to the shelter, we're going to go through it thick and thin with him, it was almost as if Toby's sense of security again was reinstilled, and Chris and I learned to communicate differently with each other about Toby and his behaviors.
Wow, that's great. And I can certainly relate, as I'm sure a lot of people that are listening are shaking their head yes, but when my spouse and I have the uncharacteristic but very loud moments of disagreement, our dogs start to cower or walk away or hide under the bed, and we will stop having those altercations for the benefit of the dogs so the dogs aren't upset before we'll even worry about how it's affecting us. So yeah, I'm guilty as charged. My hands up. Yeah. Did Toby and Chris have an equally good relationship to you and Toby, or was Chris the outsider? I mean, how did that dynamic work?
one of my biggest joys in my life was watching Chris and Toby forge this beautiful, trusting bond, that I wasn't, there was a part of their relationship that I wasn't a part of. And I loved watching the two of them together. And there was one part I wrote about in the book where Toby's arthritis was really flared up and he was struggling. And I came in and there's, the two guys I love, Chris and Toby, and Chris is carrying Toby up the stairs, a 90-pound dog. And I just thought, wow, their trust and relationship is 100%. And it took a lot of work on both their parts because, the destruction really didn't help the relationship in a good starting off place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some relationships start out beautiful. I don't just mean amongst humans and animals. Some of them start out wonderful and deteriorate, and some of them start out very, very challenging and wind up being a triumph to patience, understanding, love. And it sounds like you, Chris, and Toby had the latter for sure.
We did. And, we had so much fun as a family because when the book came out, Chicken Soup, and then especially when On Toby's Terms came out, we, of course, did book signing events, and Toby spoke at, I spoke, he barked, but we did tons of presentations. In fact, he was in front of 10,000 students across North America, and we did this as a family. So this whole book, when you asked the question earlier about how did it open up life for us, it opened up life as well because Toby became part of our business, which was something we never anticipated when we brought him home that day.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you got to be open to everything that can happen. I have to ask, did Toby's head swell so big he couldn't get it through the bathroom door? Did he become a diva dog?
Toby's head swell. We have so many videos, and it's just comical watching this dog because he really knew the audience was there for that, for him. He knew they weren't there for me. And one of the best examples is when we would go and present to schools, we'd have 700 kids in a school gym. And part of how we started off is we'd always get the kids to count with me, 1, 2, 3, and then they'd all shout out, "Hi, Toby." And so you just picture 700 kids a booming, "Hi, Toby." And then with that, the barking starts outside, and him and Chris run up to the front of the gym. And he knew that every single one of those kids was there for him and that he was there for them.
It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Where's my cookie? We're talking with Charmaine Hammond, and she is the author of a really wonderful book called On Toby's Terms. By the way, we haven't asked, and I apologize, Ms., where can our listeners get a hold of On Toby's Terms?
On Toby's Terms is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Chapters and Indigo in Canada. And it's also available on Toby's website, which is ontobysterms.com.
And that's on, O-N, Toby's, T-O-B-Y-S, Terms, plural, because he had many, on ontobysterms.com, correct?
That's right.
Cool. Now, okay, everybody, sit down. I think I mentioned it before, but not only did Toby have a chapter written about him, not only did Toby have a book written about him, but I understand that there's a major motion picture in the works revolving around
That's
the
right.
book.
That's right. Before the book even went to print, it got signed to become a major motion picture by Impact Motion Pictures, a production company in California. So they're working away on everything they need to do to get the movie going.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Now, when was that? Because, Marley and Me was a huge hit, first as a book and then as a movie. Do we think that On Toby's Terms will rival that?
Well, we think so. Toby's story, On Toby's Terms, one of the most common areas of feedback that we get from people is that they love the lessons that Toby gives. And we talk a lot about the lessons in life that Toby gives. So while there's this journey of Toby going from being a naughty dog to an awesome dog and everything he did in between, there's also some really rich lessons that people can take, and that feedback we get time and time again.
Yeah, and I think that was missing from Marley and Me. I don't think that there were a lot of lessons except love your dog no matter what. So I think that will be an added element that audiences will absolutely embrace and thank you for.
Well, and you know, one of the things that people loved about Marley and Me, and I know they'll love with On Toby's Terms, is that relationship that people have with their dog and how a dog becomes such an important part of our family.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, do we have a release date for the picture?
No release date yet, but they've made a lot of progress. They now have an executive producer in place, and they've been researching the dog trainer, and they're looking at how many dogs that it'll take to play Toby, and then they are working madly on securing the financing, and then they'll be able to go into casting and start shooting. So it is such an exciting process.
Oh, my God. Are you involved in that, or is that all happening and they're sending you updates?
We're so fortunate because the production company has been incredible to work with and have been including us wherever possible. So we feel very much a part of what's going on.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so little plug in here. If you're looking for people for casting, the top dog, Eileen Proctor, America's Canine Connections Coach, is available. And I only live in Arizona, so it's a hop, skip, and a jump. To get over to California for filming, if that's what we choose to do, or to Canada if it's in the summer. And I'm thinking, because our listeners cannot see Charmaine, but she is an adorable blonde woman, a boomer, adorable boomer blonde woman. Correct? You are a boomer. Okay, there you go. And I am thinking that the perfect person to play you in the movie is Ellen DeGeneres. Because you've got the adorable factor, the blonde hair, the love of the dog. I'm pushing for Ellen DeGeneres, and I will play the best friend neighbor. How do you think about that?
There you go.
Fair enough.
The lawyer
Fair enough.
Is decided.
All right.
I love it.
But just make sure that gets through to Impact Motion Pictures, and I'm looking forward to getting my contract. Thank you very, very much. Do you have any future aspirations in the world of dogs? I mean, what happens after the book and then after the movie? Is there more?
There's more, and that's how this incredible dog just connected me with a passion that I didn't really know about, which is writing. And the work he did with kids was so profound that we got a lot of requests for a children's book. So we just released, actually, in August, Toby's first children's book. It's beautiful. Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends. And what makes it so beautiful for me is that my best friend, who I met when I was 5, Roseanne Previck, is the illustrator. So years ago as children, we had dreams of being able to work together and do projects together. And here we are many, many years later doing exactly that.
Oh, that's the loyalty factor that dogs have with us. You're showing it with your books. And so Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends, will there be more in that series? It sounds like it's begging for begging for some sequels. Are there any other books coming up?
Well, the next one is Toby the Pet Therapy Dog Says Be a Buddy, Not a Bully, and that one's coming out this year. And again, it's an illustrated children's book. Beautiful story.
I love that. That is so great. Now, the books about the pet therapy dog, where are they available if somebody would like to get a hold of those?
And those are available same place as pretty much On Toby's Terms is, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and then in Canada through Chapters and Kohl's and Indigo.
Okay, cool. And I am actually looking at both of these books right now. On the front cover of On Toby's Terms, a beautiful, beautiful brown Chessie. Just looking at you, I can absolutely see how you fell in love. And the book Toby and the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends, the illustrations are really beautiful. It's on coated paper, meaning slick paper, so it's ideal for children who might be eating their peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it teaches some great lessons about the way to treat animals and how animals can be a valuable part of our lives.
You bet. In fact, at the back of the book, what we did with the children's book, we did this with On Toby's Terms as well, but we put discussion questions. So in On Toby's Terms has discussion questions for book clubs. And the children's book has discussion questions that moms and dads and teachers can have with the children around kindness and what it means to be a therapy dog, the role that animals play in our life, and how to be a good friend. really start those conversations going.
Awesome. That is absolutely wonderful. It sounds like your life was enriched, took a detour. I shouldn't say a U-turn, but a detour. And it's the love of a dog, the relationship with a dog, has so impacted your life that it'll probably never be the same from this point on. Well, from 5 years ago on, whenever it was that you got Toby. Is there any words of advice that you would like to give for any of our Fervently Speaking listeners who are considering having their life go to the dogs?
The other lesson I learned from Toby is just the importance of being ourselves. You know, I just love watching Toby because no matter where he is in life and whatever he was doing, he just showed up as Toby. And when we do that as ourselves, it just enriches life so much. It just makes life so much easier.
Yeah, that's really great. So in terms of you being a boomer who made this career change, et cetera, that happened to embrace your dog, any regrets?
None. It's been the most incredible journey. And the best part of it was that we were able to do this as a family. That's been the most special opportunity for me.
Right. And if I could think of one or two things to share about the beginning stages of your relationship with Toby, it's as with any relationship we have, we really have to think about what we're getting into when we are, in fact, entering into these new relationships. And if there are warning signs, let's look at them and deal with them. Know in advance how to deal with them. In the case of a Chesapeake Bay Retriever versus a Lab versus a Golden versus a Pekingese, it doesn't matter. I'm advising everybody who's thinking of adopting a dog, don't just think about the success story that you're hearing here today about Toby, who's a Chessie. All right? You have to think about what Charmaine went through en route to her being able to laugh about the things that happened and look at them as learning processes rather than frustrations and reasons to bang your head against the wall. So please, if you're adopting or getting a pet of any kind, do your research. Make sure it's the right species, the right breed for you, and be aware of what you're hearing in advance. And, you know, like with our boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever it is out there, don't think they're going to just magically change. There's a lot of work that's involved, but it's all worth it if they're the right one. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Awesome.
So glad you raised that point, because once we had Toby, that's when we started to really research the breed. And there's some really good information available about Chessies and every other breed. And it may not have changed our decision, but it would have helped us earlier on to know some of the challenges that breed has. So really important to do your research. And also to tap into the resources that are available in your community, like the shelter that we adopted Toby from was able to be a great support for us. You know, the veterinarian, the behaviorist.
Yep.
There's so many resources that we've got to reach out to help the dog live the life it was meant to live.
Exactly. And, of course, if you would have known all this stuff and listened up front, et cetera, and done your research, you might not have gotten Toby, who might not have taught you all these lessons, who might not have been the subject of a book, who might not be the subject of a major motion picture, and had the impact that it's had on your life and all the people who are now going to be running out to get the book on Toby's terms. So everything for a reason, and just know that life is a journey. It's meant to be enjoyed, and wag your tail through the whole thing. And that's my advice. That's my advice. The gospel according to the top dog. There you go. Well, I need to segue this conversation at this point, because we're talking about all the wonderful things that Toby brought to your life, and all the wonderful things that he achieved and allowed you to achieve. But there's actually at this point something very poignant that we need to talk about, and that is toward the end of last year, Toby actually, you lost Toby, correct?
We did.
Tell us if you can about that.
Well, late 2011, our precious Toby left us. He had some health issues that he came to us with, and he was a ripe old age of 10 and a half, which is a pretty good age for an old guy. And he died peacefully at home with Chris and I, and it was of natural causes. But I'll tell you, he has left a really big hole in both of our hearts.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry that you had to experience that. That is the other side of what pets bring to us is when we lose them, we have a hole that we just can't imagine ever being refilled. And frankly, Charmaine, over the course of the last couple of months, many of the dogs that I've known in my life as the pioneer of the dog daycare industry in Phoenix, Arizona, I've had many dogs enter my life. And it seems that we're at a cycle right now, and many of them are, in fact, heading over to what we call the Rainbow Bridge, which is that they're, you know, they're leaving this life. And especially I need to give shout-outs to and support to these dogs and the parents of these dogs. Remember I mentioned before Tucker, who was the feature dog in Tucker Tales. He was a corgi, and Jamie Wagner, the author of the book Tucker Tales, was on with us about 6 months ago. And recently Tucker has gone to the Rainbow Bridge. One of my favorite Cocker Spaniels of all times, Maggie, she had the longest eyelashes in the world. She was a beautiful buff cocker. Oh. She was 14 and a half years old. We just lost her this last week, a friend of mine did. And another one of my friends, a beautiful golden retriever named Bo. And we can go on and on and on. There's no words for us to describe what happens. And what a lot of people don't do, though, is they don't talk with other people about coping with the loss of their pet. You know, there's so many different things that we experience when this happens, both as the parent as well as the friend of the parents. And it's really important that we all recognize that this is something that deserves our grief, deserves our sorrow, and that there's nothing wrong with expressing it and taking time to get over it. So did you and Chris deal with that?
You know, the shortly after it was, first of all, like walking around in a fog. I have no other way to explain it, Eileen, just sort of walking around in a fog and disbelief and in pain, really. You know, we'd lost our best friend and life just wasn't the same without him. And then, interestingly enough, on Facebook, all of these people that we'd never met that had read the book or had met Toby at a presentation or book signing started sharing with us stories about their own dog and in many cases stories about Toby, how he'd inspired them. And so on one hand, we're dealing with this tremendous loss and grief, and on the other hand, still being inspired by this dog who really has left paw prints on hearts everywhere. And yeah, it reminded me, you know, just what you said, Eileen, how important it is for us to talk about the grief and to talk about our animals and to talk about the stories, because it all, as difficult as it is, it also provides comfort. You know, you heard on the interview earlier, I was laughing at some of the stories that Toby has done, and yet in the same breath, there's pain that we don't have him with us. But it's important to talk about it.
Yeah, it's really important. It's really unwise and even counterproductive to hide your feelings, to appear strong and calm, because, you know, quite frankly, any of the friends that you have probably feel the same way as you. It's not silly, crazy, or overly sentimental to feel the way you do. There are actually pet bereavement support organizations in almost every community, both within the United States, north of the border, throughout the world, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And one that I've personally benefited from is the Animal Kinship Ministry that's here in Scottsdale, Arizona. In addition to basic services like recommending where you can have a funeral or how you can do an end-of-life service or things like that, they've got teams of volunteers that provide affirmative prayer support. And you know, sometimes that's really important, both during the illness or after their death. Lots of assistance out there. And I will tell you that I have a friend whose name is Paul, and he has four beautiful children. And about 2 years ago, their yellow lab, Norman, passed away. Very big part of their lives. And he gave me a call to find out what he could do to ease the pain of what the children were feeling, to not see Norman around the house anymore. And the recommendation that I gave was to have a party to celebrate Norman's life, to reminisce and share memories and make scrapbooks and invite people over before the memories of the pet disappeared, to be able to really commemorate, immortalize, and be so thankful and grateful for all the things that you remembered and the impact they had and the fun things they did. And they did that. And they actually sent me a copy of the scrapbook that they put together. It put tears in my eyes. But, aww, you know, these animals, whether it's a dog or a cat or a bunny or a horse or a rat, it does not matter. Every pet has a special place in our lives and deserves to have that specialness remembered, as opposed to the grief and grieving that that we often associate with death. So
that is so true.
Did you do anything special? I know that you have a legacy project for Toby that's called Million Acts of Kindness. Was that started after his passing or while he was with you?
It was started when Toby was with us. When we started going to school presentations and sharing Toby's story, we were amazed what happened when we finished the presentation and we'd have Toby there. Every child would want to touch him or cuddle him or shake a paw, and he wanted to greet them. It was amazing to watch, and we just watched this bond, you know, child after child connect with Toby, and this gentleness and this kindness. So we started this kindness mission while he was alive. We would invite children to commit to doing one random act of kindness in the 24-hour period following. And we had schools and children Facebooking and emailing us about the experience. And so in his life, he enlisted about 7,500 students on his kindness mission. And we thought, in honor of Toby's legacy and his life, we wanted to continue that. So next week, we're launching a Million Acts of Kindness, Toby's Global Mission. And it's really around bringing kindness to the forefront in our families, communities, workplaces, and society to really make a difference.
That is phenomenal. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a famous dog like Toby that somebody does something like that for. So if you love your pet, there is always a way for you to be able to make a difference in the world, utilizing the love that you have for that pet to other people in the world and other animals in the world, by the way, too. I mean, many a commemorative program has been made around the love and care of dogs. And if you're interested in getting more information about how to do that, you know, you can always contact me, the Top Dog, at topdog@fervently speaking.com. That's F-U-R, fervently speaking.com. And I'll be glad to talk with you about that. One of the things I wanted to bring up was when I was speaking with Tucker's mom, Maggie's mom, I didn't get a chance to speak with Bo's mom. They were asking me, how do you know when it's time? How do you know when you need to make the decision for your pet, as opposed to waiting for the pet to dwindle away? And did you have to deal with that decision? Did you have any precursor warnings about Toby before he left of his own accord?
You know, we did, and with both dogs, our first dog, Dukes, very similar. We noticed that, you know, as their health changed and as their condition declined, we noticed that the sparkle left their eyes, and that was so obvious mm-hmm. with Toby. We mm-hmm. just noticed his eyes didn't have this excitement, this sparkle, and he really maintained deep eye contact with us frequently. And then, of course, you know, with Toby, he slowed down eating and stopped eating for a time, and we knew that our time with him at that point was very precious and very, very limited. We had, you know, vets coming to check on him, and I guess the blessing for us was that, like with everything in Toby's life, he left us on his terms, and we didn't need to make a decision. And I certainly have a tremendous amount of empathy for families that have had to make that decision, because I understand that must be so difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult. But the thing I want to have our listeners understand is that our pets rely on us throughout their lives to make sure that their health is taken care of and that their physical needs are taken care of in terms of activity, and we're giving them the right food and the right amount of love and the right amount of understanding. And as parents, and this is true for two-legged children as well, but we have a responsibility to make sure that our pets live in this world with respect and dignity and can live the same way. And on how to get across is that we have a choice when that is, but we also have responsibility for our pets to suffer. It sounds like you took care of Toby and made sure that he was not suffering, but your pets would not want you to remember them wasting away or in constant pain. But I agree with you. If you look into their eyes, I will tell you very quickly the story that I had with my golden retriever, Madison. I mean, it happened, she was 11, and this was probably about 10 or 11 years ago, but she had developed cancer and was having a lot of issues, and we were giving her all the love and assistance we could. She couldn't really even walk anymore on her back legs. We had to carry her out on a sheet to help her to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And one day, Charmaine, I remember coming home, and I didn't get greeted at the door by Madison the way I normally did. And I looked around for her and called her, and she didn't come. And I saw her sitting in the living room by her doggy door, and there was a big wet spot around her. She had obviously peed in the house, and mm-hmm. she could not get out of the doggy door. And I looked at her, and the look in her eyes was, "Mommy, I am mortified. I am so sorry. I know it's not the right thing to do. I tried. I just couldn't get out." And I looked at her, and it was then and there that I recognized that she was telling me it was time. I could read it in her eyes. Mm-hmm. No friend, no doctor, nobody can tell you when it is time except between you and your pet. So don't have those feelings of guilt or denial or anger or depression. Do what you believe is right, and don't let anybody ever tell you your decision was wrong. But do think about, we have got this one last thing we can do for our pets, and that is to help them at the end of their life with dignity and respect. And that's what we really want for them, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I really appreciate what you've just shared, Eileen, because it's such an important message for listeners to know and to understand.
Yeah, the way I want to end the show today is with a poem. I mentioned this thing called the Rainbow Bridge, and Charmaine, are you familiar with the Rainbow Bridge in Canada? Do they have that there?
I am, and it's absolutely beautiful. That helped me a lot in moving slowly forward after losing Toby.
Yeah, the Rainbow Bridge, for those who don't know, and even for those who do, we believe, those of us that love animals so very much, that when we lose our pets to this life, they actually go to a place called the Rainbow Bridge. And I'm going to read the poem. The author is unknown, otherwise I'm sure he or she would be getting emails and fan mail up the wazoo, because this poem has helped countless thousands upon thousands of people not feel better, but at least know that there is something to look forward to when we lose our pet. So I ask you to please, stop what you're doing now and listen to the poem, The Rainbow Bridge. There is a bridge connecting heaven and earth. It is called the Rainbow Bridge because of its many colors. Just this side of the Rainbow Bridge, there is a land of meadows, hills, and valleys with lush green grass. When a beloved pet dies, the pet goes to this place. There is always food and water and warm spring weather. Those old and frail animals are young again. Those who have been maimed are made whole again. They play all day with each other, but there is only one thing missing. They are not with their special person who loved them on earth. So each day they run and play until the day comes when one suddenly stops playing and looks up. The nose twitches, the ears are up, the eyes are staring, and this one suddenly runs from the group. You have been seen, and when you and your special friend meet, you take him or her in your arms and embrace. Your face is kissed again and again and again, and you look once more into the eyes of your trusting pet. Then you cross the Rainbow Bridge together, never again to be separated. And I hope that you will hold that in your mind and your heart. If anybody wants a copy of the poem, The Rainbow Bridge, for themselves or for a friend, just search for it on Google, The Rainbow Bridge, or again, email me, topdog at fervently speaking.com, and I will make sure that you get a copy of this very powerful poem that that makes such a difference, knowing what's going to be going on down the line. And remember, dog years are 7 years to hour one, so it may take a while, but we will be reunited. Right, Charmaine?
You bet we will. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you. I hope that you found that uplifting and helpful. And we have been speaking today with Charmaine Hammond, the author of On Toby's Terms and Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends. On Toby's Terms, soon to be a major motion picture. Charmaine, one more time, how can people get a hold of your books that will help them be able to enjoy the great stories and inspiration that Toby has given?
They can visit ontobysterms.com. That's Toby's website. And his videos are on YouTube. On Toby's Terms is the channel. And they can also go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And in Canada, Chapters, Kohl's, and Indigo.
Excellent. And I highly recommend everybody do that. On Toby's Terms gets the top dog's paw of approval. It is one of the most heartwarming books I've read in a long time. And I know that you will get a whole lot out of it. Charmaine Hammond, thank you so much. And enjoy California before you head back to Canada. And I'm
thank
sure there
you.
Will be another dog in your life at some point, yes?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, take the time to heal. There's no right or wrong time, but it'll be a special one for sure because you deserve it. Charmaine Hammond, On Toby's Terms. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Take care now. So
you've
been listening to Fervently Speaking on blogtalkradio.com, the Boomer and Babe channel, and we are here every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. That's hump day. We'll be back again in 2 weeks with another fun and fur-filled episode. Until then, I'm the top dog, Eileen Proctor, America's Canine Connections Coach and the voice of Pet Rescue, reminding you that adoption is the best option. Take care now.
You've been listening to Fervently Speaking with your host, Top Dog Eileen Proctor. To find out more about today's topic or to suggest one for a future show, email topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. That's topdog at FURVENTLY speaking.com. And be sure to tune in every second and fourth Wednesday of the month for another fun and fur-filled episode right here on the Boomer and the Babe Network on Blog Talk Radio. Fervently Speaking is a production of Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.